Today's daf is daf Chof Hey, and we are holding on the second line right after the two dots. Says the Gemara, there was a maisa in which Sabi de Nezunya lo'otu l'pirke. The elders of the town of Nezunya did not show up to the shir of Rav Chista. Lo'otu l'pirke Rav Chista. Omar lais Rav Chista tells Rav Amnuna, Zil tzan'inu, go and put them into hiding, which means, in other words, see to it that you put them into nidui for their lack of kavod haTorah when I come and give a lecture, and let them hide out in the house because they're not roy to be seen in public. This is Rashi's pshat. There are some who argue on Rashi, and they say that it's not one of the things that is viewed as a pegam and kavod haTorah that's b'chayav nidui, and therefore tzaninu would mean teach them the ways of tzniut. In other words, teach them that it's improper, even though it's not an overt show of disrespect, it's a sense of arrogance that we don't have anything to learn from you. All right, so also Rav Amnuna goes to the Zikdei Nezunya, Amaluhu, so he says to them, my time Elohata Rabbonu Lepirka, why did you come to this year? Omrolei, so they say to Rav Amnuna, am I Nete? What's the point of showing up to this year? Look, I mean, we've asked Shilas to Rav Chista. He doesn't have any answers. You know, there's no practical solutions. What's the point of going to a shir just for ideas? Amalos of Rav Nuna says to them, you never asked me anything that I wasn't able to answer. So, I mean, if I can answer, I tell you, for sure it's worthwhile coming to this year. So give me an opportunity. So they say, okay, we'll give you an opportunity. Bo mine, here's a question that's been bothering us. Eved shirtziso rabo babitzim. Have now an Eved where the rov of the Eved. Sorry, this is an on-the-road series. The GPS is interrupting on our way to Durban, but we can continue. We just got to make sure the races don't get together over there. So Akiva and I are on our way to bust it up. So anyway, he says, what would be the halacha if the odin of an eved basically sterilizes him by pulling his testicles loose, but they remain within the scrotum? So they're no longer, he's now cut the spermatic cord, or any other elements that would have been necessary to properly maintain their testicles. But now, if you look at the Eved externally, you can tell that the testicles are hanging low in the scrotum and are not being supported. So, Mao, do we say that because of the fact that you could see this, that there's something strange about the way that their scrotum is formed around their testicles? So it's the equivalent of a kamum shebegalui dami. So the Eved would be Yotze because he made him a balmum, even though we excluded any kind of mum that is internal. But because this is noticeable externally, perhaps it's a mum. Oh, perhaps we should say, lo. This is not considered to be a mum because the real damage is not visible from the outside. You'd have to actually get an x-ray to see what's going on. Oh boy, that stumped Rav Amnuna. Well, there went his showing off to the Zikney, the Sabim of Nezunya. So they say to him, very interesting. Mashmach, what's your name? Omarlo, my name is Hamnuna. He said, no, your name's not Hamnuna. Your name is Karnuna. Because basically, you obviously have been spending your life hanging around on street corners for the blizzard. So we're not going to call you Hamnuna. I said, how you doing, Rabbi Karnuna? He said, that's the kind of people you want to start up with. So, Umrule Lav Hamnuna Ele Karnuna. You're obviously not a bit Torah. You can't even deal with our questions. Anyway, so Rav Hamnuna comes back to Rav Chista to report on this rather unsuccessful meeting with the Sabi de Nezunya. So I'm in the Kamini Rav Chista. And he goes to tell Rav Chista what happened to him. On my list, Rav Chista said, "Oh, for God's sake. They asked you a question that is answered directly from a Braitha and a Mishnah. Madita bo minach." Look, Stan, we know that when it comes to the dinim of Nigaim, so, and this is actually a Mishnah, and we're going to have the Braitha that explains the Mishnah better, that Esrim Yarba, Roshe Avarim Sheba Adam, Kulam Ein Metamim Mishum Michya, Halacha is that, interestingly enough, the din of the 24 Roshei Avarim, which appeared, as we learned it out, by Eved, that an Eved is Yotzei L'Chairus, if it caused damage, the other causes damage to those Avarim. So we've got your 10 fingers, 10 toes, your eyes were already included, that's the din of Ayin, so that's not included. That's 20. Then we've got your 2 ears, your nose, and your penis. It's 24. So damage to those Evarim is considered to be Eved Yotz Beb L'Cheirus. But interestingly enough, the same 24 Evarim also show up in the Dinim of Negayim. Because the halacha is that a Nega has to be seen all at once. And if a Nega is at the tip of an Aver, so that I can't see the Nega as a whole, I have to move around the organ in order to be able to see it. So say it's on your fingertips. Then it's not going to be Batam and Bishum Evarim. So all 24 of these Evarim have in them areas we can't see it. And therefore, Kulam Ein Batam and Bishum Michya. All of them would not be Batam from the tip of this Aver. You need to move it around because it says, L'cho Mar'ei Ne'er Kohen. It has to be able to be seen all at once, whereas other organs of the body are not folded over in that fashion. So you would be able to see. If something on your arm, you could see the whole thing. So therefore, over here wouldn't be metame the inai. Benigai. Now, what does this have to do with us? See in a moment. But in any event, Elohim, what are these 24 Evarim? Roshei Atzpaot Yadayim V'Raglayim, tips of the fingers and the toes. Roshei Hazdayim, the tips of the ears. Rosh Achot, the tip of your nose. Rosh Hagvi, the tip of your penis. And we also are going to include Roshei Dadim Shebi'isha, female breasts. So the tip of the nipples are the same din, according to the Tanna Kamma. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda argues, and he says, it's not only the tip of a woman's nipples, it's also af shebeish. Even though males don't have such clear-cut extensions of the nipple, but nonetheless, it's sufficiently extended to be considered a Rosh Aver. In any event, it says now in a braita about this Mishnah, but Tony Allah, Kulam, all of the above, Roshei Avarim, Eved Yotzei Behem L'Cheirut, an Eved, if the Odin now cuts off one of these Avarim, the Eved would be Yotzei L'Cheirus, because these are called Mumim Shebegalui, they're not going to grow back, therefore the Eved will be Yotzei. Rebbe adds, and here's where it gets interesting, because now this was the question that was raised to Rav Amnona, Af HaSirus, that there's an additional mum that the Eved would be Yotze, which is damage to his testicles. Now, I mean, he didn't say testicles. He just said damage to reproductive organs, serous, sterilizing. Now, we have to ask, what's that referring to? Serous demai. I mean, you might have sterilized them by damaging his penis. So, Elaim Asiros Legid, is that what we're referring to? That we're damaged to the penis is what we mean? So then, you haven't added anything because we already said that. Ainu Gviya, we said earlier that the penis is included in the original list of 24 Avarim. So for Rebbe to say Af Asiros in reference to something that was already listed would be ridiculous. It's not Af, I already said that. I mean, to say a Nafkamita between cutting off the tip of the penis or causing damage which would be serious and noticeable is not really adding anything much. Elalah, therefore he must be adding something. What he's adding is damage to the testicles, which weren't listed earlier in the list of the 24 Evarim. So you see that according to Rebbe, serus of testicles alone is actually also considered to be a yotzei lecheiros, which means that the answer to what the Sabi de Nezunya asked you would have been to tell them it's Machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim in the Braita Benogea, the Mishnah of Negoim. So that according to the Chachamim, it's not called a Bum Shebegalui, the Yevid would not be Yotzei Lecheirut, and according to Rebbe, it would be a Bum Shebegalui, and the Eved would be Yotzei Lecheirut. Now, thinking about that Braita, where Rebbe Ober Afasirus, so now Rebbe adds there this additional. Sirus was, according to the Tanakama, apparently there is no yetzia, damage to the testicles. Why is it, though, that Rebbe only mentions the testicles? Why doesn't Rebbe mention a similar issue in which you have an organ noticeable from the outside, but nonetheless maintained inside the body, similar to testicles, which is a tongue? The tongue can be damaged, but if you keep your mouth shut, nobody's going to know. So asks the Gemara of a Rebbe, when Rebbe comes to add, he only adds now the serus. Why doesn't he add damage to the tongue? The lashon lo, is that not called an open mum? And therefore, if you cut off some of his tongue, he would not be yotzei lecheiros? V'aminu harei shayam mazeh. If somebody now is sprinkling the chatat, mei chatat, which is the bora aduma water mixed with the ash, sprinkling it on a person who's tamei meit, v'nitzah za'al piv, and the water of the mechatis that he's sprinkling falls on the mouth of the person who is tamei, so Rebbe says, well, that's okay. That's also considered to be hazah. So Rebbe Omer Hizah, it's kosher. Because the mouth, an open mouth, is considered to be a makom galui, and therefore it's kosher hazayah. Whereas the Chachamim Omerim, lo Hizah, that is not a kosher hazayah, because the din is that hazayah has to be on his body. Now, my love, I would assume that when it says it fell on his mouth, it's referring to his open mouth on his tongue. Al Lashono, right? In which case, it's clear that according to Rebbe, the Lashon is viewed as an exposed organ. If Rebbe is ready to say that a testicle is an exposed organ, even though it's covered, then Rebbe should certainly have agreed that a tongue is an exposed organ, even though it's covered, and therefore he should have listed it just like he did the testicles, because clearly when it came to the din over here of Hazayah, he viewed it as being an open organ. Says the Gemara, lo, lo, lo. The case over there, when it says it fell on his mouth, is not referring to his tongue. It's talking about that it fell on his lips. And his lips, enochinami, that's considered to be an exposed area. Says the Gemara, his lips, halsvatav pshita, obviously. I mean, why would that not be possible? The lips are clearly open. Even when you close your mouth, the lips are open. So what would be the chiddush of Rebbe? Bishlam, if he was talking about the tongue, there would be a chiddush, because the tongue is not as visible. It's inside of the mouth. So pshita, ask the Gemara, there's no chiddush in that. So what is Rebbe adding? Because ba'al d'tema, zimna d'cholim tzvatei. I might have thought that, look, since a person can press his lips together, and at that point, when he presses his lips together hard, so then you do not see the tips and edges of the lips, so that maybe it would be considered to be not an area which is galui. Kamash v'lan, therefore, Rebbe needs to explain that the meaning over here is talking about the sfatayim as adavar shebegalui, and indeed it's considered to be open, and we would not consider it to be a closed organ. Mashenka, when it comes to the tongue, the tongue indeed is a closed organ, so that the testicles are visible in the scrotum even when the scrotum is closed. Mashenka, the tongue is not visible in the mouth, when the mouth is closed. Says the Gemara, but that can't be the pshat. Because Vatanya, there's another brisa in which Rebbe and the Chachomim openly discuss not his mouth, but his tongue. In the other brisa, it says, Al Lishono, okay? Furthermore, Vatanya, in the brisa that describes Mumim Shebegolui, that make a korban, a bechor, also is a korban. So one of the things that it lists as Mumim Shebegolui is Vishinital Rov Alashon, that most of the tongue was removed from the animal that makes the Bechor unsuitable as a korban, and now it can be shechted and eaten as a Bechor Balmum. And Rebbe is the one who explains over there that the meaning of Rov is talking about Rebbe Omer. It doesn't mean Rov of the entire tongue, which the tongue is enormous if you include the whole back and root of the tongue. All that it meant by Rov HaLashon is Rov HaMidaber Shebilashon. It's the part of the tongue that is used for making sounds, which is not the part that's connected to the actual body of the mouth on the bottom, so that it's even a smaller shear. But in any event, it's clear from here that Rebbe's Shita is that the Lashon is a Davar Shebegalui, and why therefore did Rebbe say the only addition I could make to the 24 Evarim is Sirus of testicles and not cutting off a Lashon? You are absolutely right. Ella answers the Gemara. The way to understand the Braita is that Rebbe Omer that the Eved is Yotzei with Sirus. Yes, even though they're hidden inside of the scrotum. But I don't even have to mention Halomi Boya Lashon. If there would be a cutting of the tongue, for sure. If I'm ready to say that a testicle is called Golui, Koshikin, I'm ready to say that a Lashon, which really is Begolui if the person opens his mouth, so Koshikin, that's considered to be Mumim Shebegolui. I don't even have to mention that. Ben Azai Omer. In which case, Ben Azai, when he is saying no, the Lashon only, because there it's actually open when you open the mouth. However, Aval Sirus, lo. Sirus is never considered to be a Mum Shebegalui, because it's always covered by the scrotum. So then what was meant by Af that Ben Azai used, which is Mashma that he wants to add, it's going back not on what Rebbe says, because Rebbe also agreed to the Af when Ben Azai comes along now, and he wants to add. He's not adding to Rebbe when he says the Af and the Lashon. He's going back now on what it was said L'chatchila by the Chachomi. He's going back Akamaita. He's going back at the very beginning where we ignored the other things. We only had the 29. So Ben Azai says Af HaLashon, meaning Rebbe for saying Lashon and Sirus. Ben Azai is saying I would add Lashon, but I wouldn't add Sirus. That's going back Akamaita, not on Rebbe but on the Tanakama. Ask the Gemara if that's the case. Yachi, the whole construction is wrong, because then why was it that we had Rebbe before Ben Azai? We should do is we should have a gradual additive effect. We should say 24, then Ben Azai adds the tongue, and then Rebbe adds to all of the above the testicles. So the Kadma de Ben Azai Beresha, we should have said him immediately after the Tanakama, because he is only adding now the Lashon, whereas Rebbe is coming along, and Rebbe is saying, I want to add even the Sirus. Yeah, that's not a problem, because as far as the construction is concerned, it could be that the Tana first had been bekabel the halacha from Rebbe. So here's what Rebbe said first, or shamad to Rebbe, before he ever heard what Ben Azai had to say. And that he was kaveya v'kav'ah. He puts them now in their immediate place following the chachomim of Esrim V'arba Rosh Yevorim. Then the Tana heard Rebbe Ben Azai, who was saying the Af HaLashon. So now he came along, Vitani, and he puts it in the place now after Rebbe, but the truth is, logically, Ben Azai, as we've just pointed out, belongs between the Tanna Kamma and Rebbe. And even so, we have a klal, which is that Mishnah lo zaza mimakoma. The Mishnah, meaning the way in which we had originally learnt something and taught it over to Talmidim, we don't change that because later on we add something to put it in the middle, because that's very confusing. So we keep the structure as it developed. So it developed with Tanna Kamma, Rebbe, and then Ben Azai. We keep it that way. We don't try to turn the Mishnah into the Rambam. So it was Enochinami. If you were learning this, it was meant to be a chibur that was showing entirely the structure and was not trying to provide for the continuum of Teresh Shebaal Peh. So then for sure, we would have put it into a logical structure the way the Rambam does. But since over here what we're trying to do is contain the history of the development of Teresh Shebaal Peh, in the Mishnah I put in from Tanna Kamma, Rebbe, and Ben Azai. Omar Rula. Now Rula points out that Hakol, everybody, is Maida. That the Lashon, Le'inyan Tuma, when it comes now, touching something with a tongue, that that's called definitely something that could be Makabel Tuma B'Maga. Why? The Galui Hu Eitzel Sheretz. Since over here, if there was a touching of the tongue to a sheretz, it certainly would have been metame 100%, even though the halacha is that maga beit hasdarim, touching the body in an area that is always kept covered, is not makabel tuma. This is not called the makom hasdarim. Why not, indeed, my time, huh? Because the Torah defines tumat maga as Asher Yigabo Hazav. Kol Asher Yigabo Hazav Amrachmana. Anything that the Zav can touch to it. Vahai Nami Barnegiyahu. This is something which, if a man sticks out his tongue, then he could touch something outside of his mouth. It's commonly done. You want to lick something, you want to see what it tastes like. So, as far as Tumas Maga is concerned, for sure, we don't look at the normal status of the tongue that is considered to be normally kept covered, but rather the fact that it's used for touching. The tongue is actually a touching organ. So memela, there's no question. Furthermore, le'inyan tefillah. If there's a question now of a chatzitza on your tongue, let's say, right? Or whether your tongue has to actually enter the water. Your tongue doesn't have to enter the water. You can keep your mouth shut. You don't have to open up your mouth so that your tongue gets into the mikveh. So le'inyan tefillah, it's considered to be something which is tamun, which is hidden inside of your body. My time, huh? The rachatz bisaro b'mayim. It says, wash your flesh in the water. Your flesh is a reference to your epidermis. Suma bisaro mi'avroi. So just like your skin is external. Avko mi'avroi, only thing which is found external on your body needs to be put into the mikveh. Anything else does not require that the water should enter in it. So even though you could stick out your tongue, but since you can't stick out your entire tongue, so the tongue is an organ. There's no such thing as a half a tefillah. You can't be tefillah a half an arm. You can't be tefillah the half of the tongue that sticks out when you want to use it to touch something. Mashenke, by maga, there's no din that an entire organ has to touch. Any piece of an organ that touches the batam of the entire body. So since part of the tongue is indeed a touching organ, so that part is considered to be mitami legabe maga, and that accounts for this tremendous difference between the kabbalah of the tumah and the getting rid of the tumah in the mikveh. There the tongue is completely a different halacha. So where then is there a machlokas if they're agreed when it comes to tumah and they're agreed when it comes to tefillah? As we saw, the place of the machlokas Rebbe Nechachomim is when it comes to the mechatat, where the mechatat is supposed to touch your body. So Rebbe says the touching now of the hazayav, the poraduma, is similar to tuma. And since by tuma it's considered to be an open thing because that part of the tongue is open. So too, if the hazayat touches that part of the tongue now, that's sufficient. Whereas the rabbanan are medame hazayat tefillah. And why is this? Because it's a question of how they understand the following pasuk. Tarvayu b'hai krokam iflagi. Both of them are interpreting the lashon of the following pasuk differently. It says v'hizaha tahor al hatamei b'yom ha'shelishi v'yom ha'shevi'i v'chitzo b'yom ha'shevi'i v'chibes b'gadav v'rachatz b'mayim v'tahor. Fine. So now the question is, how do we read the word now of v'chitav? So it says that he has to be, you have to do this chitui. What exactly does that v'chitui mean? V'chitzo b'yom ha'shvi'i is what? And this is the key. So the Rabbanan hold, rather Rebbe holds, Rebbe Sova, that the way to understand the pasuk is the chitzo goes backwards. V'izat ar latamei b'yom ha'shvi'i uv'yom ha'shvi'i v'chitzo. So now this v'chitzo is the explanation of the word v'izat. To tell me that the chito, which is the chitui of the person, the hazaah, on any place which was roi for tuma, is considered to be the chitui, and therefore it's the kosher hazaya, even though it's on the lashon, because it is something that could be tamei, and therefore requires the cleansing of the chito. So that which became tamei is where it is that you touch it with this mayim to make it tahor. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, the word v'chito is not part of the hazaya. The word v'chito starts a new phrase, which is meant to be read as follows. V'chito b'yom ha'shvi'i, v'chibes b'gadav, v'rachatz b'mayim. So the meaning over there is that v'chito goes together with tefillah and the mikveh. So just like v'chibes b'gadav, v'rachatz b'mayim means go into the mikveh, v'chito means to be mechateh his body in the entirety by going to the mikveh. But we never find that the union of hazayah is the equivalent of cleansing the organ which could be tamei. There's no such indication at all. And therefore, it's a very significant difference, la halacha, as to how to read the pasuk. Is this a continuation of the previous phrase, v'chito, or is this the beginning of a new phrase which ends in tefillah? Yes, the Gemara of Rabbanan Nami, Gedavi Latuma. Why would the word over here only be going on for a chatz b'mayim? Since it's placed in this fashion in the pasuk, it can be read, as Rebbe said, together with Azoya also. No, because the Chachamim say, Tzaharani Torah Havilei L'melav. What you want to learn out is the relationship of Azaya to Tfilah, and not a relationship of Azaya to Tumah. That doesn't make sense. It's much more logical to talk about the various modes of attaining Torah, which include tefillah and hazoya, to say that they are similar. So on what tefillah is, so too is on what hazoya is. And not to say on what tuma is, so too is what hazoya is. It's less logical. Does Rebbe? So indeed, that's a taina. Why doesn't Rebbe use the v'chito as a comparison to tefillah and not to hazaya? That's because, says Rebbe, v'chibes b'gadav, which appears after v'chito, tells me that there's two different halachas over here, because v'chito, v'chibes b'gadav, v'rachatz b'mayim. So doesn't that tell you that the chito is not the kvil v'rachatz b'mayim? Because we interrupted with cleansing the clothes. Why do we interrupt? If it would have said v'chito, v'rachatz b'mayim, v'chibes b'gadav, you'd be right. But since the Torah goes out of its way to put an unrelated clause in the middle, it's telling me, says Rebbe, that I'm not meant to read the chito together with the mode of tefillah, but rather read the chito together with the mode of hazoya upon the aver that was makabel tuma. Okay, brilliant. The Sova Rebbe asked the Gemara that indeed the tongue, when it comes to tefillah, is considered to be tamun. Because, I mean, as I said before, I thought that that would mean if it's inside the body, so then even if there was a chatzitza, it wouldn't be a problem, right? But that's not true, because we know an actual psak that Rebbe had, in which Va'omar Ravi Omer Avad Omer Rav Yitzchak, there was once a story, Ma'aseh b'shivchasho beit Rebbe shetavla, and one of the maids in Rebbe's home had gone to the mikvah, the altar, she came out, and later Nibza Etzem ben Shinea, they found a piece of bone that was stuck between her teeth. And Rebbe insisted that she go back to the mikvah because this tefillah wasn't kosher, because it was a chatzitza. So Yitzricha Rebbe tefillah acheret. So you see that he holds that the inside of the mouth indeed requires tefillah. Ah, says the Gemara, your initial assumption was all wrong. There's a big difference between the need to hold your mouth open so that the water gets to your teeth and your tongue, and between not having a chatzitza in your mouth and on your tongue. Because even though nihid bi'atmayim lo ba'ina, you don't need for an actual immersion in water, but you do need a mokam ha'ra'uy lavo ba'mayim ba'ina. You do need a thing, a place that had you wanted to, you could have immersed it in water. Bashenkin, over here, you couldn't even immerse it in water if you opened up your mouth, because there's a chatzitza in the way. So that simplistic reading of Rebbe that we initially had was indeed wrong. And a chatzitza is different than bia b'mayim. And what is that based on? The famous maimer of Rebbe Zera that we've had innumerable times. D'yomer Rebbe Zera, kol ha'ro'uy l'bila, en bila ba'kevet bo. But she'eino ro'uy l'bila, there bila ma'kevet bo. So since when it comes to mixing now, the menachot, the halacha is they don't have to be perfectly mixed. But if it's so large that it couldn't be mixed, then Rebbe Zera says that's not a kosher mincha. Because even though bila, the mixing, the proper mixing of the flour and the oil, is not ma'akev, but the potential of bila is ma'akev. And this becomes now the model for this svora. We always say, kol ha'roy l'bila ein bila ma'akevet, she'eno roy l'bila bila ma'akevet, and therefore here too. What would be roy l'biat ma'im is in biat ma'im ma'akevet. But if it's in a roy l'biat ma'im, then biat ma'im indeed is ma'akevet. So now we have a consistent approach of Rebbe in all of the shitas. And indeed we find, getting back to our sugya, which was the original question of the Sabbath Nuzinia, of what the halacha is as far as testicles are concerned within the scrotum, whether considered to be a mum shebegalui or not, it's actually a machlokes tanaim, where we learn out of the list of things that the Torah considers to be mumin. And the Torah has a list of things that refer to the genitals of the behemoths, and we need to define what those things are. So we have the following pasuk: ma'uch. Now ma'uch means crush, or it means squished. Chatut means squashed up ground, right? Almost. Busted up. Natuk, disconnected. Vicharut, it cut off. What is it referring to? What is cut off? Says Rabbi Yehuda, all of these things are references to the testicles. So therefore, in other words, if you had had now an animal that had its testicles had been squished up, or had actually been crushed by some kind of heavy weight and that had really fallen apart, or you had cut the supporting structures around the testicles with a knife but they're still inside the scrotum, or they were actually removed by the hand and left in the scrotum, all of these things are considered to be kulam bebeitzim. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Only the testicles? You mean to tell me if you did this to the animal's penis, then it wouldn't be a bal mum? I mean, it's even worse. It's so noticeable. For lo begid. No, sorry, Ella. The correct way to have said this, I apologize, was kulam af bebeitzim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. What Rabbi Yehuda was saying is that the genitals affected any area of the genitals, the testicles or the penis itself, would be considered a mum. However, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, no. Kulav begid, only the penis, but anything that affects the testicles while they are hidden in the scrotum is unscrotable. Rebbe Yossi Omer, it depends which part of the pasuk. When you talk about the first part of the pasuk, ma'uch v'katut. Now that's something that's very testicular, squished, crushed. So that refers to the beitzim, because that is something that is indeed noticeable outside of the scrotum. But natuk v'charut is not as noticeable, because it's hanging in the scrotum in exactly the same form. So in other words, it's the same round testicle, it's not crushed. And because of that, that would apply only to the gid, would not apply to the beitzim in that case, the beitzim lo, because I certainly can't really see the fact that these testicles are disconnected. I can just notice that they're strangely lying against the bottom of the scrotum, but I don't see any real effect on them. So therefore, we basically end up over here with the same approach of the Tanoim when it would come to the noticeability Lagabi and Eved with Sirus of Beitzim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, any type of event that affects the testicles in this fashion is always enough to be motzi the Eved Lecherus. According to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, it's never enough because the testicles are not visible. According to Rabbi Yossi, it depends. If I actually affected the testicle itself, then yes, but if I affected supporting structures, then no. So it turns out that we really have three shitas among the Tadoyim that would have affected the Sabin and Azinyas question. Continues now the Gemara with the following Mishnah. Zotei Elika Mishnah. Be'imagasa, now that we have discussed the various forms of Kinyonim, of Isha, of Amma, of Eved Knani, we move on to Kinyonim in general. And now we talk about the Kinyonim of various types of animals. So Behema Gasa, now you're trying to buy somebody's elephant. It's rather difficult. Rather difficult to lift it up. You're buying a 1,000-kilo ox. And you can't pick it up the Hagba'a. What do you do exactly? So that kind of thing is nicknamed Mibisira. You hand over the reins, or as we had a list of various things that could be handed over, you give it over to the buyer, and that is the way to be kainet. But if you're just trying to show up and you pick the thing up, it's not a normal kinyan, and therefore something that's not its derech is not kainet. Nahadaka, however, a small animal, so have a little goat or a little sheep, there you'd have to actually lift it up. That's ba'ak ba'an, because that's the derech. You pick up the animal, scoop it up, and walk off. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer v'Chachamim argue, and they say, Omrim, that Be'im Adaka is nicknamed also b'mishicha, because since it tries to avoid being picked up, even though you'd say, but I mean, that would be the most clear-cut act of possession, but it resists being picked up, and it tries to hold by pushing its legs against you into the ground. So by simply pulling it, the Rabbanan were also makel that you could be kena in that fashion, as well as Gemara says in Baba Basra. Dorash Rav v'Kimchunia. Rav got to a place called Kimchunia and gave a drasha. And his drasha there mentioned that a behema gasa is nicknate b'mishicha as well, not only b'misira. So Ashkechidu Shmuel HaTabidid Rav. Shmuel found, he met up with some of the Talmidim of Rav, and he said, how could he have said that, your Rebbe? Amar Lehu, what? Mi Amar Rav, Be'im Agasa, Nikdis B'Mashicha. People came out of the shir, and they're claiming you could just hand over the reins. I mean, you could rather just pull on this animal. And I thought that says Beferish of the Mishnah, we just had Anan, Be'im Agasa, Nikdis B'Mishiratnan. In my Mishnah, it says very clearly, only by handing over. Now, the truth is that Rav Nami b'misira amar. Rav also used to always say that. When he said this over, he used to tell me, what I remember in the old days, that is only over the Mesirah. Well, I'll tell you, change his mind. Foolish consistency, after all, is a hobgoblin of little minds. So, Yerav changed his mind. You'll say, what, he's going against the Mishnah? Who the Omer Kiaitana? Actually, Rav Shita is a Shita found in a Braita. So first, indeed, Rav was always teaching like the Mishnah, yelled like the Mishnah. He would argue in the Mishnah, but then when he found the Shita of the Chachomim in the Braita, the Tanya of the Chachomim Omrim, Zov Zodik Neper Bishicha, that both the Behemagasa and the Behemadaka can be nicknamed by pulling. So Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says, Zov Zov, not by Mishicha, but yes, Bagbah, even though it's a Behemagasa. So the way to be Magbiyah, you'd have to put it on an inclined ramp, but we'll get it on. But point is, there is no way to be Kena, simply the Mesira, although some Rishonim say that Rabbi Shimon is only being Chalik in the specific case of Behemot, because, as we're going to see later, you can always have an animal climb on a ramp, which would be Hakabah. But if you're being kena something which is not self-propelled, so let's say you're being kena a boat or something like that, so there, of course, Rabbi Shimon is made that there is a kinyan of Mesira. He's only saying that Hakabah is the essential kinyan, and as long as that is doable without undue inconvenience, that's the main kinyan, and we don't allow other kinyanim. Matkif la Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef asked now Elamiata, if you're telling me that you've got to lift up the animal. I mean, look, you know, you may have a very, very strong guy who can pick up an ox that weighs a ton, okay? I'd like you to find a guy that's going to let you pick up an elephant. So how about if you're coming to buy a peel? Rabbi Shimon, how is he going to buy an elephant, according to Rabbi Shimon, huh? Tell me that. If Agbah is the only way to be kena an animal. And here, obviously, in South Africa, that is an extremely important question. I mean, naturally, we do this every other day. So how do you buy an elephant? Omalaya Baye, well, there's no problem. You could be kena a peel b'chalipin. Or what you could do is, you could rent the area where the elephant is standing, inami, yisocheret mekomo, rent the area, and then the karka will be yours, and you can be kena it now with kinyan chatzar. Rabbi Zera says, what do you have to? It's very simple. Rabbi Zera Omar, maybe our bucket, you bring in four buckets, because obviously we're talking about a circus elephant. These four buckets belong to you. Have the elephant put one foot on each bucket and stand, and as people now applaud at your dancing elephant, and then it will be considered that you're Bikaina with a Kinyan Chatzar, because these Kalim belong to you. So what? In other words, you're saying, Shema Amina, the Kalim Shalokher, Rishitabokher, Kanalokher? That if it's your buckets, even though it's in Rishus of the other person, that's enough? Is that what he holds? And I thought that was a major question that we left standing in the Gemara. So can we see that Rabbi Zera actually passed this Allah Halabaisa? Says the Gemara, no, you cannot learn that from Rabbi Zera, because maybe it's talking over here, not that he's in the other guy's field, but it's talking about over here that he's in an area which is the side of the Rishus HaRabim, but not that the Rabim Mamish walk through it all the time, but which you wouldn't be able to be kind at all, because you can't put your buckets there. But over here, since it's in a Simta, it's right at the corner of the circus, so over there, it's considered to be your rishus if the elephant is standing on your four buckets. But in Achinami, maybe if the kelim would be literally in the rishus of the mocher, Rabbi Zera wouldn't have said that you could be kelim, because we never ended up with a psak that kelim shalokeh rishus of the mocher work. Or there's another way to work this out, Inami. What we could do is actually pick up an elephant. How do you pick up an elephant? Very simple. You put down chavilei zemura. You put down piles of branches, and you gradually get it to walk up till it goes higher and higher. And as long as it's three tvach above the ground, at that point you just walk the elephant up, and that's considered to be hakba'ah, and that's perfectly good kinyan. And so we are happy. Matkifla Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asked Navel of the Ataf, you're telling me that you've got to lift up the animal. I mean, look, you know, you may have a very, very strong guy who can pick up an ox that weighs a ton, okay? I'd like you to find a guy that's going to let you pick up an elephant. So how about if you're coming to buy a peel? How is he going to buy an elephant, according to Rabbi Shimon, huh? Tell me that, if Agbah is the only way to become an animal. And here, obviously, in South Africa, that is an extremely important question. I mean, naturally, we do this every other day. So how do you buy an elephant? Well, there's no problem. You could be kind of a peel b'chalipim. Or what you could do is you could rent the area where the elephant is standing, inami, isocheret mekomo, rent the area, and then the karka will be yours, and you could be kind of it now with kinyan chatzer. Reb Zera says, what do you have to? It's very simple. Reb Zera Omar, maybe our bucket, you bring in four buckets. Because obviously we're talking about a circus elephant. These four buckets belong to you. Have the elephant put one foot on each bucket and stand. And as people now applaud at your dancing elephant, and then it will be considered that you're bekena with a kinyan chatzer because these kelim belong to you. So what? In other words, you're saying, Shema Amina, the kelim shalokeh v'shtabokher kana lokeh? That if it's your buckets, even though it's in reshus of the other person, that's enough? Is that what he holds? But I thought that was a major question that we left standing in the Gemara. So can we see that Rabbi Zera actually passed this halacha l'maisa? Says the Gemara, no, you cannot learn that from Rabbi Zera, because maybe it's talking over here, not that he's in the other guy's field, but Achvam Ayaskita B'Simta. It's talking about over here that he's in an area which is the side of the reshus Rabbi. But not that the Rabbi Mamish walked through it all the time, but which you wouldn't be able to be kind at all, because you can't put your buckets there. But over here, since it's in a Simtad, it's right at the corner of the circus, so over there, it's considered to be your Rishus if the elephant is standing on your four buckets. But in a Chinami, maybe if the Caleb would be literally in the Rishus of the Mocher, Rabbi Zera wouldn't have said that you could be kind of, because we never ended up with a psak that Caleb, Shalokeh, Rishat HaBokher work. Or there's another way to work this out, Inami. What we could do is actually pick up an elephant. How do you pick up an elephant? Very simple. You put down Chavilei Zemura, you put down piles of branches, and you gradually get it to walk up till it goes higher and higher. And as long as it's 3 tefach above the ground, at that point you just walk the elephant up, and that's considered to be Hakba'ah. And that's perfectly good, Kenyan. And so we are happy.